scripture this morning is Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, which you can find on page 667, and 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16, which is on page 1270. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Be holy. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. I know that everybody gets uncomfortable when topics like lust are discussed in church. Maybe you looked at the bulletin last week already and you saw, because we always put in what's coming up the next Sunday, you thought, oh boy, it's going to get awkward again. Well, we know that we are all physical beings, and we know that there are facts of the birds and the bees, and we know that babies are not delivered by storks or found mysteriously in the cabbage patch. It's no secret that sex, which is a gift from God for the pleasure of husband and wife and for the growth of families, can become and has become as twisted and as corrupt as any other good gift that comes to us from the Lord. This week, we heard in the news a lot about Ashley Madison. Ashley Madison is an internet service. Its motto is, "Life is short, have an affair." And what it does is it provides a way for married men and married women to hook up with each other and have extramarital affairs. That's its whole business. That's the point of it. Well, this week, hackers got into the database of Ashley Madison and made public all the names and addresses and credit card numbers of everyone who has an account with Ashley Madison. And hundreds of thousands of people have been exposed as those who use the services of Ashley Madison. According to Global News, over 1,000 people in the city of Burlington have been exposed as being customers of Ashley Madison. This is not something that is a small thing, and it's not something that is far away. This is something that is affecting people in our community. It's not just in our community. Christianity Today says that today, this day, 400 pastors and church leaders are in the process of resigning from their ministries because they have been exposed as being clients of Ashley Madison. Obviously, sexual infidelity is a huge reality and a terrible problem for the morality of our society. What do you say about that? But it's not just things like this that cause us concern. Pornography is an insidious and pervasive social evil in our world. Pornography is a $15 billion industry in North America. $15 billion a year gets spent on pornography, using all kinds of platforms and media. Pornography focuses only on the sexual dimension of human nature to the exclusion of all else, and it distorts how we look at people. It distorts our view of our fellow human beings. It makes us misunderstand their worth and their proper place in society. It damages, pornography damages people and their relationship with others. And it's a form of abuse. It abuses and it degrades men, women, and children. This is part of our reality. There's some more facts about pornography. Over $3,000 is spent on pornography. Over 28,000 people are viewing pornography. 372 people are typing adult search items on their computers. How often? Every second. Every second. In the time that we have, think about how much has been spent on pornography just since the time that we've been in church here together. If every second, it is an unbelievable amount of evil and brokenness and abuse and corruption that surrounds us and that we are probably caught up into as well. I have no trouble believing, sadly, that some of us listening here saying, yeah, I know what that's. I know what he's talking about. I know what it's like to be at work and turn my computer screen away from anybody else so they can't see what I'm looking at. I know what it is to watch things that are immoral or that are degrading to others. I know what it's like to have sexual brokenness in my life. But it's even more than that as Christians, because we know that Jesus, when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, and you find this in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." And of course, when he said that, committing adultery is the physical act of having an affair with somebody who's not your spouse. "But I tell you," he said, "that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Seeing that, that pornography and sexual sin is not just an act. For us, it is also an attitude. It's not just in the things that we do with our appendages. It is what we do in our mind and in our heart. But by looking at the text that Kathy read for us this morning, we can see that there is a way to navigate through the sin of lust and to find the antidote of holiness. But it's difficult because, you know, lust looks good. And lust is appealing. There's a reason that people are spending all that money and viewing all those websites and doing all those searches on their computers for things that are pornographic or illicit. It just looks appealing. Beautiful women, real handsome men for your private pleasure. I mean, who's being hurt? And lust, it sounds good. You're worth it. And you work hard. You live a good life. Why not just give yourself a little treat? I mean, if it feels so good, how can it be wrong? We try to convince ourselves. And really, who is it hurting? I'm in the privacy of my own home. I'm in my basement. I'm in my office with the door closed. Just me and the computer. Just one little fling. She'll never find out. And the other problem, other than lust looking so good, holiness looks really boring in our world today. I mean, where's the adventure in being a person that is faithful and tries to keep yourself pure? Where's the adventure? Where's the rush of seeing something that you know, ooh, the forbidden fruit. Oh, I'm really enjoying this. It's really getting me off, you say. Can it be wrong? And not only does it sound boring, it sounds lame. It sounds like we're cowards. We're too afraid to walk on the wild side. We're too timid to take the chance of adventure and exploration, people would say. All the cool kids are grabbing some of the action. Let's get with it. But I'll tell you something that's true. And I know it's true because I think the Bible teaches it. And I know that it's true because I've seen it confirmed in relationship after relationship after relationship. I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to as a pastor about this, that lust and the mindset and the values and the lifestyle that go with it carry a terrible price. When you allow yourself to fall into that world and to engage in those kind of behaviors, to look at that kind of a thing, that you find that it is corrosive, that it eats away at you, that it damages you, it creates inside of you bitterness. The text uses the word bitterness, and I'll tell you, it's true that people that have gotten into the habit of watching all this kind of stuff and engaging in these kind of behaviors find themselves poisoned by the shame that goes with it. And that wounding that happens inside you doesn't just stay stuck in you. You say, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to look at this, I'm going to engage in this behavior, and it's going to hurt me. Okay, you know, I've done this kind of cost-benefit analysis. I say, well, it'll hurt me, but I got pleasure in one way and another side, so maybe for me that they balance out. But it ain't just about you. That's it. It's not just about you. Even as you are damaging yourself, you are causing wounds in the range of relationships that God has put you in. If you are married and you are succumbing to the temptation into pornography, or if you're succumbing to the temptation to have an affair, you're giving in to lust, then the wounds that you are inflicting are not just on you. They're on your partner. They're on your parents. They're on your children. They're on your community. They're on your church. When we give in to this, we are causing pain in the whole web of connections that we are part of. That's what it means to be community. Community of family, community of church, community of friends. That when one shows a betrayal, that pain spreads out all through the network. And it damages you also in your relationship with God. You are adrift, not only morally, you are adrift spiritually. Now, the other side of lust is holiness. And if we say as individuals, or if we say as a community, that we are going to commit ourselves to the way of holiness. We say, yes, I understand that God is calling us through the Word, that Jesus' example was that of holiness, and we will walk the way of holiness. Then there is an effect of that as well. When there is a commitment to being the kind of people in our sexuality that God wants us to be, then there is the gift of health, the gift of wholeness, and there's the gift of healing. Healing of things that are unwell. Hope for those things that are looking for encouragement. And walking in holiness gives us a purpose of being anchored in God and living a confident life in Jesus Christ. My prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is that together the Lord gives us the grace and the power in the Spirit to resist this horrible temptation that is lust. And my prayer for any of us who have indeed been dabbling in it, maybe some of us have dove right into the deep end of this junk and are feeling already the corrosive and the damaging effect of allowing ourselves to be watching that stuff. My prayer is that we stop. That we say, okay, this is just not good. I'm not going to go to that program. I'm not going to engage in this lifestyle in secret anymore. I'm not going to let out of control fantasies rule my mind. And there is help. I just want you to know that there is help. At Bethel here, we are part of the Congregational Assistance Program at Shalem, the Christian Counseling Center. And what that means is that if any of us have an issue that we need to talk to a professional Christian counselor to give us help, whether it's about addictions, whether it's about depression, whether it's about use of pornography and not being able to stop, or living a lifestyle that is alluring but damaging, then there is counseling sessions in total confidence available to you. And maybe some of us need to take advantage of this, even about this topic. Also, you can talk to me as your pastor. And in confidence, we can talk about it, find ways maybe to help you, and certainly pray together about it. Or find a friend or a trusted person. There are some very wise people in this community who I know could be a blessing to you. So, let's be holy. Let's find the way of honor and integrity, and let's show the kind of holiness that God wants to be part of our lives. Because when we do that, then we're bringing Him glory. God bless you, and may He protect you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, boy, it is tough to talk about this, Lord. But it is part of our realities, part of our context. And we ask you to help any of us that are struggling. And we pray that you'll keep all of us pure as you wish us to be. Let us be people marked by holiness, because that's your will. That's what you want. That's what's good for us. And we seek it. Lord, hear our prayer. Jesus, we pray. Amen.